Thank you for the specials this morning. They were a blessing. I was sitting there just reminiscing about, I remember the first Sunday that I preached at Fellowship Baptist Church. And the passage that I have chosen to preach from was a passage that my very first message here. And that was one of the first songs that our children sang here. And now they're singing it again. I had no clue that they were going to be singing that song this morning. But the truth of the song is more important than anything else. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Amen. Plenteous grace, the songwriter said, he bestows. I'm glad that God's grace is sufficient, aren't you? I sure am. Well, Pastor BJ has read in your hearing out of Mark chapter number 5, and I began to pray when I was about the second message of Psalm 73, how the Lord would have me to navigate after we got through with Psalm 73, and he led me to some thoughts about death and resurrection. The end of this month, we'll be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're actually doing that today, but we call that Easter. At the end of this month, we'll be celebrating it as a country, and I pray that you would celebrate it every day. But I began to think about the resurrection. And I began to think about that being the cornerstone of our faith. And then God began to bring to my mind the people that Jesus resurrected while he was here upon the earth. Surely there must be a message to it. There must be something to it. I don't stand before you saying that I understand it all as to why there were three people chosen, as far as we can tell now. As far as we can tell. Listen, Jesus may have resurrected 300 people while he was here in his earthly ministry. I don't know. But there's three people that we have the record that while Jesus was here in his earthly ministry, that he resurrected from the dead. One of them we're going to look at this morning. I find it very interesting that there's a little bit of a progression here. This young lady, and we'll get into it in just a moment, she actually wasn't dead when her father went to her and said, would you come and heal my daughter? Not raise her from the dead. I just want you to heal her. And then during the process and time, well, some miserable comforters, we'll talk about that in a moment, some messengers from Jairus' house came and said, thy daughter is dead. Trouble the master no longer. But that didn't stop Jesus from doing his work. Because the same one that has power over disease has power over death. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. And so he went and we'll look and he raised this young lady from the dead. Now listen, just saying that, it's kind of easy to pass over, but I want it to just really resonate in your heart this morning. Did you hear what I just said? Jesus Christ raised a 12-year-old girl that was dead and brought her back to life. You believe that?
Amen. Amen.
If you do, death can't have fear over you. Just can't. Not saying that you're ready to die as far as, you know, I can't wait to die, but I am saying you're prepared to. Death can't hold its grip on you. If you believe what I just told you, Jesus resurrected that 12-year-old girl. Can I tell you? If you're saved, he's going to resurrect you too. Now, he's going to resurrect all the dead, but he's going to resurrect us into life eternal. The second person that Jesus raised from the dead while he was here in his earthly ministry, it was a widow's son, the widow of Nain. You'll find that, and we'll look at that next week, the Lord willing, in Luke chapter number 7. Now, when Jesus healed this individual, as far as I can tell, he wasn't summoned. As we see here, he was summoned. And he was summoned to a sick girl who eventually died, and then he resurrected her. Jesus just saw this funeral procession. And this son was already in the coffin. He was in the bier, is what the scripture says in Luke 7. And Jesus went and he stopped the funeral procession. And he had mercy on that widow woman who had lost her only son. And and he raised him from the dead. So here's a young lady who had obviously just died. I mean, she had just died, and Jesus went and healed her. Then here's one that had been dead, I don't know how long, but he was already in the coffin. This young lady, as we'll see this morning, was in her home. Here's a young man that was in a coffin, and Jesus stopped the funeral procession and raised him from the dead. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Brethren, I believe that with every fiber of my being. Now listen, I don't believe that because I'm someone special. I believe that because God has given me faith. I have received the gift of faith. I have received that gift, and I exercise that gift and believe in what God has said. I don't doubt anything that's in the Bible. I'm not saying that I understand everything, but I'm here to tell you this morning, I doubt nothing that's in this book. I believe every word of this book. Every word of it. And so I believe that Jesus did heal and lift this little girl from the dead. I believe he raised this little girl. I believe he raised that widow's son from the dead as he was already in the coffin. The third person that we have a record of Jesus healing was not at home sick like the little girl, not in a funeral procession in a coffin like the widow's son, but he was already in the tomb. He was in the grave. He had been there. His sister said, "You're going to raise him now? He's been dead 4 days. By now he stinketh." You'll find that account in John chapter 11. The man's name was Lazarus. I just find it very interesting that I believe there's something here, and I haven't connected the dots yet, but I'm working on it. Amen. And maybe you can go home and work on it some. And God will use you to connect some dots. There's something there. I'm telling you. There's something there. God never just records things just to be filling up paper. There's truth within truth within truth. And I'm thankful for it. This morning, I want to talk to you about Jesus raising up a little girl from the dead. And I could just say that there's one great truth. Now, there's several things that we'll look at, but I want you to leave with one great truth today that I really believe that'll help. I think it changed the direction of my life when I got hold of this. Now, listen, when I got saved, that changed my eternal destiny. When a person gets saved, it changes your eternal destiny. But there's something about the journey, and I want you to hear me now. There's something about the journey to our eternal destiny that we've forgotten in our churches today. There's something to be said about the journey. And I believe the truth that I'm going to present to you today will enable you to greatly enjoy the journey. Because I don't think that Jairus, listen, I don't know if Jairus was a believer. I tend to believe that he was. I tend to believe that he was. I don't know that he was. I tend to believe that he was. But I do know this, Jairus was not enjoying the journey. And God done something in his life. Jesus done something in his life that I believe until the day he died, he never forgot it. Don't you know, he never forgot it. And the day that I realized I have eternal life, I have eternal life. It's just really helped me in the journey. I hope that you will realize this morning that just being saved is not just about going to heaven. Thank God for that. But God wants to give you a little something for the journey. That's called the abundant life. Now there's eternal life, and I thank God for it. But there's also the abundant life of Jesus. Let's look at this account. There's really just three light little snapshots that we'll get this morning. First of all, I want you to notice Jairus and Jesus, and the word we'll look at is desperation. You know, a lot of times we shirk from desperation. We shirk from sorrow. We shirk and shy away from trials. We don't want them. But oftentimes in our life, it's these very things that drive us or cause us to want to seek after God. And I see that in this man's life. Here was a man who was just kind of going through his routine. Now notice what the scripture says. In verse 21, it says, "When Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him." Now, I find it interesting as you go back to verse number 17, it says, "And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast." So here's a group of people on one coast saying, "Get out. You know, we don't want you here anymore." You know, Jesus had cast the devils out of the man of Gadara, that had the legion, it so filled them with shock and awe. They said, "Get out! We don't want you in our coast anymore." And so on one side, they were saying, "Get out." On the other side, they were saying, "Come to us." Amen. I mean, that's something. Isn't that the way it is in life? I mean, there's always going to be these two groups of people. There's going to be those that are praying for Jesus to get out, and there's going to be those who are praying for Jesus to come in. Amen. It's just always going to be that way. And I just wonder what group you're in this morning. I wonder if you say, are you one of those who would say, "Well, you know what, I don't want too much of Jesus. I don't want everything to be about him. I just want to I want him to be around when we need him to take care of a situation like the man of Gadara. You know, we just want to kind of clean up the town, but now as far as really getting involved in our personal lives, we don't want any of that." Well, I'll tell you, there are some people who do. And they were waiting on the other side of the coast. And the Bible says here in verse number 21, it says, "When Jesus passed over again by ship to the other side, much people gathered unto him." If you read Luke's version in Luke number 8, it says that they received him gladly. They just couldn't wait for him to get there. News had gotten out. Hey, Jesus is coming on this side of the shore. And a group of people began to gather and they couldn't wait. And so the Bible says in verse number 22, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, 'My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live.'" Now here's a man who has some faith. Now his faith wasn't, listen, it needed to grow. My faith needs to grow. How about your faith? It needs to grow. See, there was one man who said, "You know what? You don't even have to come to my home. You just speak the word." Remember the centurion? "You just speak the word, and my servant will be healed." He said, "I'm not even worthy for you to come under my roof. But I just believe if you speak the word, Lord Jesus, my servant will be healed." Well, Jairus' faith wasn't quite that strong. But I believe that he had faith to believe, if you will come, if you will just come and be there, I just know that you can heal my daughter and that she'll live. Is that what he said? And so here's this man. He's a prominent man. He's a man of prestige. He's a man with authority, with power. And the scripture says, I want you to see the desperation that's in his voice here. Can you hear it? Did you hear it when we read it? I hope that you did. Look at it again. It says, "Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of synagogue, Jairus by name, when he saw him." I mean, you know, it's like he was looking. Maybe he had seen Jesus before. I don't know. I know he had heard some things about Jesus, or he wouldn't have made the request that he made. He had heard some things about the Lord Jesus. Maybe he had heard that this is that great prophet that I've been hearing about. Maybe he had met him. I don't know. He had a job in the synagogue. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he was a ruler of the synagogue, which meant that he was kind of an overseer. He was a superintendent. He kind of set up the activity. Who would read the scripture? Who would speak? You know, he kind of laid out the daily activities that would go on in the synagogue. So he had a pretty hefty position there. If he was not a believer, at least he was in a position to where he knew some spiritual things and he came in connection with some spiritual things. So you follow what's going on here? And here's this guy, and he's in desperation, and listen, he's probably wondering, you know what, I do all these things, and I'm down at the church, I'm down at the synagogue, and I'm trying to do what's right, and now my little girl's gotten sick. I don't know how long his daughter had been sick. I just know that this man, when I read this, I hear desperation in his voice. He came running. Here is a ruler that came running publicly and fell down at the feet of a carpenter. Now you think about this for a moment. The people of the synagogue, they didn't take too well to Jesus Christ. Those religious people in that day, the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests and the elders and all those that were involved in the synagogue, they wasn't BFFs with the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? They really didn't have a whole lot of pleasant dealings with him. They were disturbed at his message. because a lot of it was pointed toward them. And yet here comes this man knowing this is going to get out, but I don't care. I don't care what they say. I don't care what the people of the church say. I'm going to go to Jesus, amen. I don't care what this religious crowd says. Let them criticize me. I need some help. My little daughter is sick. And I would never be convinced that a man of means like Jairus had not called in some physicians and tried to get some help. And there's nothing that could be done. I personally believe, I can't prove it from the scripture, that this was his last gasp hope. You know, we're kind of that way, aren't we? I mean, you know, when we tried everything else, well, I guess we need to pray. Why are we that way? You know, well, we tried it all, let's give God a chance. I'm not saying we're that way in everything, but if we're not careful, we can become that way and have that mindset. And so here comes Jairus, and the Bible says that he just absolutely, he outrun his dignity. Hey, man, I mean, he went running, and he fell. The Bible says in verse number 22, there cometh one, a ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. I believe he went running up to him, and he fell down, and listen to the desperation as I read this. The Bible says he besought him. You see that? He begged him. Matthew put it this way in his account of this same account. He said he worshiped him. And the Bible says that he did so greatly. You see that? Do you see the emphasis? Do you hear the desperation? He besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee. You know, I need you. Something's got to be done here. We're in a bad situation here. We've called the doctors in. They can't do anything. It's out of our control. There's nothing we can do. I'll never be convinced that if there was anything that Jairus or mankind could have done, he wouldn't have been right where he was. There's a great lesson right here. Don't despise trials and sorrow and difficulty in our lives. God will use those things in our life to get us to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, to get us where we need to be. Where we should be without the trials. Where we should be without the sorrow. But oftentimes, without the sorrow, we will not be where we should be. The psalmist said, it is good for me that I am afflicted. You see, these things help us to realize that we need to get to Jesus, amen. And so I see desperation with Jairus. I hear it in his voice, and he just set aside so much when he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's Jairus and Jesus. And I want you to notice what Jesus did here in verse 24. The Bible says, and Jesus went with him. And much people followed him and thronged him. Which is very important to remember that. So there's this big group of people. You know, I mean, I don't know how many, multitudes of people. It keeps mentioning that. Did you notice? Look at verse number 21. It says, when they got to the other side, much people gathered unto him. And then you get down into verse number 24 and it says, and Jesus went with him and much people followed him and thronged him. It was so many people that it was like they were just pressing up against him. I mean, it's like a human pinball. He was just getting, you know, as they were walking and people bouncing off each other. And then something happened. Don't you know when Jairus heard, lead the way. Jesus said, I'll go with you. Lead the way. And they started going that way. And I think Jairus' heart was just as full. And he was saying, amen. Thank God. He's going to come. I just know if I could get him in my home, things are going to be okay. I didn't know if he had come. I'd heard he was compassionate. I heard he cared. I heard he loved people. I didn't know if he would come, me being in my position, him knowing what he knows about the people that I associate with. But can I tell you, God loves people. Amen. You know this. It doesn't matter. God, Jesus is looking for people he can minister to and help. When Jairus came, I find this very interesting too, that I really believe there was a lot of people in this crowd that had needs. There's a lot of people in here that have needs. But only find where Jairus asked. That's interesting to me. What is it about us that won't ask God to help us? Now, I believe Jairus had to get down to the end of his rope, so to speak, before he would ask. Maybe they hadn't got desperate enough. Maybe you haven't. I don't know. What's it going to take for us to set aside our pride? What's it going to take for us to set aside what we think we can do and get to the feet of Jesus and say, God, we can't do this. We need you to help us.
Amen.
Say, I don't want Jesus to come with me. Have you asked him? The Bible says in verse number 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. So that's it with Jairus. Jairus and Jesus. Now let's look at Jesus and Jairus. The big difference. Jesus said, I'm going to take it from here, Jairus. And what happens is not what a casual reader would expect to happen, and I am absolutely sure it's not what Jairus thought was going to happen. He thought, well, we're on our way. This is it. And I don't know how far they got, but notice if you would in verse number 25. And the Bible says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Well, we see Jesus, or Jairus and Jesus' desperation. Now we're going to look at Jesus and Jairus, and I want you to think about this word, delay. So, they're going, and all of a sudden this woman out of the crowd comes, and the Bible says that she touched Jesus. Now, he was being thronged. There's a difference between being thronged and being touched. Being thronged is kind of incidental, maybe even accidental. This woman touched him purposefully. She touched him on purpose. She had something in mind. And so when she touched him, and the scripture kind of gives us her backdrop here, and I'm not going to it. Verse number 27 says, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. She heard of him, just like I believe Jairus did. She heard he was coming to the area. She had heard it too. Jairus got there first, and so she just said, well, you know what? He's on the way, and so I'm just going to touch him. I hope you don't miss this. And so she touched him, and verse number 20, she said in her heart, verse number 28, if I could just touch but his clothes, which another account says, the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing verse number 30, in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now, you got this guy over here who's saying, my daughter's at home and she's at the point of death. And then all of a sudden this woman touches Jesus and he stops. And I believe the whole crowd stopped with him and they're all standing around. And he said, who touched my clothes? And someone, and it may have been several people, said something like this. Look at verse number 31. The disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. So they had stopped, and he said, who touched me? And Jairus is over there saying, yeah, who did? Let's get this over. I got to get home. Hey, man, we're headed to my house. I tell you, there's a lot of lessons here. I'm not going to get into this, but there's a lot of lessons that need to be learned here. I mean, a ton of lessons. And Jesus said, well, we want to continue this conversation. The woman said, you know, it was me. She said, I've done it. Verse number 33. The woman, feared and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. You see that word all? Circle it. Because I think Jairus was thinking, this is not the version we want to hear right now. Can you give us the short version? Don't go back and tell us that you had spent many things with many physicians. You see, if you read before, you'll see her story. Now she's telling Jesus' story. And Jairus is over there thinking, well, you know, I was here first. You know, trials, desperation can make you very selfish. That's right. Make us very selfish people. And if we're not careful, we'll say, well, you know what? I'm the only one going through anything. And everybody needs to cater to me. God needs to cater to me. My preacher needs to cater to me. Everyone needs to cater to me. I'm hurting. You should care and you should cater to me. Well, you know what? That's true in a sense, but there's a flip side to that. You're not the only one hurting. And when you get so focused on your hurt, many times you'll miss what God wants to do in the midst of your hurt. And so God said, we've got to teach Jairus here a valuable lesson. And that is, number one, delays doesn't mean denial. And we'll see that in just a moment. But number two, in the midst of your trial, don't forget, God wants you to help someone else. Because that is, listen, that's great therapy for what you're going through. It is wonderful that when we're hurting that people reach out to us and try to minister to us and try to encourage us. But it is also wonderful when we will return the same. When we will not get so caught up in us that we forget there's other people hurting. And so Jairus stopped and he watched Jesus deal with this woman. And not only did it teach him not to be selfish, it taught him, now listen to me, to be patient. See, Jairus said, now I need you to come. You know, come on, come on. Let's go. You got to get there at a certain time or you can't do anything for me. Well, God knows what he can do for you.
Amen.
And God knows that his timing is better than my timing.
Yeah, right.
Amen, church?
Amen.
Sure he does. And so if we're not careful, we'll go with God with all these prearranged thoughts and ideas. And we'll be praying in our prayer, telling God what to do. Not asking him what he will do, but telling him what he should do. So be careful. And I'm speaking to me this morning too. Be careful. Be careful. And so the scripture says that there was this delay. And Jesus is dealing with this other person. And no doubt Jairus is thinking, goodness, you know, what's going on here? But I do believe this. I believe that when, look if you would in verse number 34. Jesus said unto her, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now Jairus didn't know, but he really needs to hear this. He's probably thinking, I don't want to hear anything this one at first. I don't want to hear anything that's going on here. I've got my own set of problems to deal with, all right? I mean, I've got my only daughter who's just 12 years old. She's the love of my life. And, I mean, she is in a bad way. And we need to get there, and we need to get there quick. See, that's the way our situations, our problems, our trials can make us. It can be all about us. And God can say, no, you don't need to turn in. You need to look out. Help people when you're going through troubles. You say, well, I can't help people. No, it's not you can't. You won't. Just like you can worship when you're going through troubles. When you get home, read Matthew 9:18. The Bible says when Jairus came up to Jesus that he worshiped him. He was having trouble. Don't let your trouble cause you to stop worshiping God. Say amen with me, church. Sometimes the farthest person in our mind is Christ when we're in trouble. I know people that stay out of church when they're in trouble. That's when you ought to get there early and stay late. Amen. Record the message and listen to it twice. Yes. Don't let the devil defeat you. Don't let your trouble, don't let your trial turn into a burden. Let it be a blessing. This is what God is doing in my life. This is what God is doing in your life. God knows what's best. There's no mistakes with God, church. God makes no mistakes. Jairus, no doubt, thought this woman has ruined everything. And Jesus, all the while, is saying, oh no, she is helping me teach you. I brought her here, Jairus. I allowed what's going on in her life the same way I allowed what was going on in your life. It's just like what's going on in your life brought you to me. What's going on in her life brought her to me at this time for this purpose. The purposes of God are important. Sometimes they go out the window when we're having some trouble. And so the Bible says that Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. What do you think the people are doing about this time? I think they're going, wow, man, that's something. Man, this woman's whole. This woman's been, she's been cured. And they're excited. And they're talking. And boy, they're, you know, wow, this is something. Could you believe that? I mean, you know, many people believe this woman couldn't even walk. But when she was touched and healed of her plague, she got up. That's, many people believe that's why she touched the hem of his garment. Can't prove that. But it sure does sound that way, doesn't it? She found her way down there, I can tell you that. And then we're going to get to the main thought, and I'm going to give you a few truths here that I hope will stick with you. So the Bible says, Jesus, in essence, all this was Jesus preparing this man for a great truth that he had for him this day. He said, I've got a great truth for you. It's going to change the way you live your life, Jairus, and I don't want you to miss it. This is not about me healing your daughter. It's not even about me really resurrecting your daughter from the dead. It's about you and what you need to know about me. And so the scripture says in verse number 35, that this is just, listen, I don't use this word much, but this is awesome. Amen. I mean, this is something. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? You know, somebody need to teach these people some bedside manner. Amen. I mean, yeah, they come running up. Hey, hey! She's dead. Just don't annoy him anymore. Leave him alone. It's over. Man, you don't need friends like that. Amen. I've met some folks that that's the way they break the news. You don't want folks breaking the news. This is a man's only daughter, his 12-year-old daughter, and they're blurting out, hey, your daughter's dead. Get the man to the side. Right? Call the man to the side. You know, give him some privacy. His daughter's dead. Not only did they say, she's dead. They said, just don't trouble the master any longer. There's no hope. Give up. Done. It's over. About like those friends of Job where, you know, miserable comforters are you all, right? Amen. And so the scripture says in verse number 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word. Boy, this was happening quick. Did you notice the way verse 35? While he yet spake. All right? You following? I mean, there's some things happening quick here. Jesus hadn't even finished speaking. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. And while he's speaking that, there's somebody hollering over him, hey, your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the master any further. Don't annoy him. And then while, before they finished up, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler, and here is the great truth. This is it right here. Jairus, you have a choice to make right now. All right? The choice that you're getting ready to make right now, Jairus, is more important than the choice you made to come to me. Here's the choice. There'll always be somebody screaming out loud, Jesus can't do it. It's over. God's power is limited. Right? There's always that crowd. There's always going to be that voice. Well, now he had got to her when she was sick. It would have been okay, but now she's dead. God's power is limited. Might as well just give up. Right? Is that what's going on here, church? Yes. Yes. Can I tell you, those folks are still around. Some of them you can see, some of them you can't. Some of them's in physical form, some of them's in spiritual form. There's the devils of hell that are always telling us, it's over, it's over. God can't do it. God has failed. Jesus cannot come through for you. And Jesus said, Jairus, I want you to look right here. Block that out. Notice what he said. Look at it in verse number 36. Be not afraid. Don't you listen to them. Don't you listen to them. Be not afraid. He said, I want to steal the fear that rose up in your heart when you heard that thy daughter is dead. I want you to go back before you heard that voice, and I want that hope that was in your heart to still remain there. Right? This is going to happen in my life. It already has. It's going to happen in your life. There's going to come a time in our life where we're going to follow our fears or follow our faith. And I am 100% sure that old Jairus said, onward, Christ, I'm following your word. I'm following your faith. How do you know that, preacher? Because he went to his house, amen. He didn't say, well, Jesus, that's it. This is where you get off. This is where all hope is gone. You just stay here. You just go help somebody else if you can. I'm going to go on back and mourn the loss of my daughter. No, no. When Jesus told him in verse number 36, when he said, be not afraid, he didn't end the message there. It's not enough just to say, don't worry. Jesus added something. Only believe. What a message. What a message. What he's saying is, you know how you believed when she was just sick? Believe now that she's dead. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe, now listen, only you can answer this question, that Jesus can raise the dead? Now it's easy to say, yeah, yeah. Now listen, if you say, yeah, I have no reason to doubt you, but I want you to really search your heart. Because one day you're going to die. Oh, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Man, don't go there, preacher. Well, may as well. It's appointed unto man once to die. We're going to die. And after this, do you believe that? There's life after death. Do you believe that Jesus Christ got up out of the grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave? Do you really believe that? I do with all my heart. I do. I do, brethren. You're looking at a man that believes that with every fiber of his being. I am staking eternity on that. I am staking my soul on that. I am staking my very life on that. Amen. Jesus got up out of the grave. Amen. It makes me want to shout and run and click my heels and say glory to God. Jesus is alive. And he came up out of the grave. Jesus called out to this young girl in this story, and she came back to life. The dead. She was dead. And she came back to life.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
If you do, you'll never doubt God can do something in your life that you need to be done. Had Jesus gone and found this girl in her sickness and healed her, there would have always been a doubt in Jairus' mind. Well, that was on this level, but I wonder if Jesus can come through on this level. Right? He said, we're going to skip that. We're going to go right here. I want you to know there is nothing that I cannot do. Do you believe that? Do you believe there's absolutely nothing that God cannot do? Nothing's impossible with God. Well, let's look at this and we'll close. I'm going to give you some truths from this, okay? I want you to follow with me a little bit and let's see what happened. So now we're going to go from Jairus and Jesus, desperation, Jesus and Jairus, delay, to Jesus and the daughter. All right, death. The little girl had died. And the Bible says, if you'll notice with me, in verse number 37, the Bible says, after Jesus had told Jairus, be not afraid, only believe. Now, Jairus, you just believe. Don't be afraid. Don't listen to the outside voices. There's always going to be people telling you now, brethren. God can't do it. They'll say, well, you know, God's gotten out of that. You know, God doesn't do miracles anymore. Don't tell me God doesn't do miracles anymore. I don't have time for that stuff. I am a miracle. What do you mean God doesn't do miracles anymore? If you're saved, you're a miracle. Well, there's a building full of miracles here this morning. One of the reasons that I asked when you got saved, I want people to know Yes, God was doing miracles in 1966 when some got saved, in 1974, in 1980, in 1981, in 1988, in 1990, in 1998, in 2000, in 2006, in 2013, in 2021, in 2024. God is still doing miracles. And so the scripture says here in verse number 37 that he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Now, there's a message here, and I'm not going to preach it. I just want you to take note of this, okay? Did you know these are called the inner circle? Now, there's a Bible, I don't want to call him a scholar, but he's a great Bible teacher. His name is G. Campbell Morgan. And I was reading G. Campbell Morgan, it's been a while back, and he said this about these three. They're called the inner circle. There are three times that you'll find this inner circle together. It's very interesting. Every time you find this inner circle together, it's around death. It's right here. They're found on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they're also called apart at the Garden of Gethsemane. It's something. There's a message there. I'm just sure of it. God was teaching these three men something very special. Did you see what happened? Look at this right here. Look at what Jesus does. He cometh to the house in verse number 38. Of the ruler of the synagogue. Jesus took over. Can I tell you, I don't want you to miss this. When you're not afraid and you believe like he's commanded in verse number 36, Jesus will begin to guide. See, the Bible says back in verse number 24 that Jesus went with him. But if you'll read this, it is very clear to see. Now, he is going with Jesus. Jesus, he took over. And really, that's what faith is. Faith is putting it into God's hands and letting him do it, isn't it?
That's right.
And so the Bible says, Jesus suffered no man to follow him. He said, listen, I'm taking it. Jairus could have said, wait a minute, we're going to my house. I called the shots in my house. Didn't say a word. He said, Jesus, lead on. And he said, it's going to be James and John and Peter. And then he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he seeth this tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. They were hired. I don't have time to go into this. They were hired people that mourned, and they were just putting on a front. And the scripture says, when he had come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. Verse number 40 says, they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, did you get that? Not Jairus now. See, Jairus is no more leading. Jairus is not the one that's leading and Jesus is following. Jesus said, don't you be afraid, you believe. And Jesus took it from right there. You see, when I will do that, when you will do that, when we will truly give it to God, Jesus will take it from there. He will. And he didn't wait for Jairus to put these people out of his house. He did it. Read again carefully what the scripture says here in verse number 40. They laughed him to scorn. In other words, they made fun of him. They said, this man believes he's going to resurrect somebody from the dead. And they were just laughing. And there's no way. There's no way he's going to bring this girl back to the dead. He said, I need you to get out. We don't need that. Verse number 40 says that he put them out, and he taketh the father and the mother. He took Jairus and his wife, and he went back with James and John and Peter into the area where the damsel was lying. There's a great message here. Those that doubt and laugh at what God is doing, and those that are just not serious about it, they'll always be on the outskirts looking in. They'll never be in the area where it's happening. So you remember that now. You remember that. Oh, people can laugh and they can scoff and they can doubt and they can say that can't happen. They'll never be a part of really what's going on, what God is wanting to do. They'll always be looking on. Did you notice what happened? I hope you don't miss this now. How many did this start with? Help me out, church. Much people gathered. So many that were thronging him. You know what it got narrowed down to? Mama, daddy, and the three inner circle. Did you see what Jesus did? Jesus said, listen, you're not going to be a part of this. There's some things that are reserved for people who mean business with God. God does business with those who mean business. Amen. Say, I want to see a miracle. Do you mean business? Do you believe? Preacher, I'm not seeing the power of God. I'm not seeing some things. Well, now, don't get shut out. See, these folks got shut out. You be careful how you respond to what God is doing in other people's lives. Is that right, folks? Jesus will shut you out. Now, he will. And he shut these folks out. And he said, no, you're not going to be able to be a part of this. And the Bible says that he went. In verse number 41, he took the damsel by the hand. He said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. She was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Well, my time is up. What's the great lesson of this? There's several lessons, but the one great lesson is this. Fear not. Only believe. Say, preacher, my grandmother's going to die. My brother died. My son died. Fear not. Only believe. Didn't say don't sorrow. It didn't say sorrow not, because we're going to sorrow. Somewhere else in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 4, it says sorrow not as others which have no hope. Sorrow is just as natural when we lose a loved one as any other emotion. But Jesus didn't say not sorrow. He said don't fear. Jairus, don't fear. Only believe. I have, Jesus said, the victory over death. Because I am the resurrection and the life. Let's stand to our feet. I hope you believe that this morning. I do. I hope you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in him, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What is it in your life this morning that Jesus would whisper to you, fear not, fear not? Is it a sickness? Is it? Is it a situation? Is it a spiritual thing? What is it that the devil just keeps coming to you and causing you to fear? Fear paralyzes people. Fear grips people's hearts. Jesus will say to you this morning, fear not. Fear not. Only believe.